these passages, Lord, and we come to the subject that we're going to be preaching about this morning. Lord, I just ask that you'd help everyone to listen and be attentive, that they might learn something from your scriptures this morning. And Lord, I just ask that you'd help us, Lord, in every subject in the Bible, just to come a little closer to you every service, every time your word is open. We love you, Lord, so much. In your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, you can go back there to Mark chapter number 5 where we are reading. And this is kind of, I guess, a more, I don't know. I would think that it's a little bit of a different type of service, sermon than we normally have here on a Sunday morning. But I want to preach on a certain subject. Next week, in fact, 1 week from exactly next Sunday, our nation is going to be celebrating Halloween. And because of that, I just want to bring a sermon. I don't know that it'll be a life-changing sermon, but maybe just something that you never thought about or something, a few things you can see from the Bible. Halloween is coming, and you know, whenever anything that our world does, you always got to ask this question, should a Christian take part in that? You know, and with Halloween just a week away, next Sunday, we gotta ask this question, should a Christian celebrate Halloween? And I want to preach a sermon this morning, and I want to give you a few reasons why I believe a Christian should not celebrate Halloween, and why a Christian should not celebrate Halloween. So let's just get right into it. I've got 5 points, and they're not going to go very long. But the point number one is this: you're in Mark chapter number 5, correct? Why we should not celebrate Halloween? Well, here's why we shouldn't celebrate Halloween: because Halloween glorifies sin. Halloween glorifies sin. Point number one is this: Halloween is the glorification of death. Halloween is a glorification of death. Now we know this. Halloween, you know, just go to Walmart or any store. Halloween is all about this: ghosts, ghouls, goblins, vampires, mummies, right? You know, that's what the whole, you know, it's all about witches, it's all about all these things. And it has to do a lot with death. You know, a ghost is dead, a ghoul is dead, a goblin is dead. I don't even know what half of those things are. A vampire is dead. Mummies are dead. It's all about glorifying death. And we saw there in Proverbs, you don't have to turn back to it, or I'll just read it for you. Proverbs chapter number 8 and verse 35, it says, verse 36, the last part of that verse says, all they that hate me, referring to God. God is saying, everybody who hates me loves death. Now our world is fascinated with death. I don't know if you've noticed it, but this is why so much of the world's music deals with death. This is why if you turn on a television or you watch a movie, and I pray that you wouldn't, but if you do, you're going to find that a lot of the shows on television, a lot of the movies, they all have to deal with death, with murder, with violence. This is why there's so much suicide in our day. You know, if you go on the internet and look up statistics, I mean, if you look at from this year or last year, and you look maybe like 50 years ago, I mean, the suicide rates go up every year. People, more and more people are taking their own life, and more people are taking other people's lives, you know. And our world just loves death. It glorifies death. You think about the things that happen in schools with like Columbine and all things. And a lot of times people ask, well, why is it that those kids go into these schools and they shoot people? I know just a couple weeks ago, somebody, I wish I could remember what college it was, but somebody went into a college and was attempting to kill people and stuff. And most of the time, you'll find that though, when they're doing the investigation, those kids were heavily into like rock and roll music that dealt with death, you know? I think the Columbine kids were very much into, what's that freak of nature's name? Like, he wears like all white makeup and what's that?
Marilyn Manson.
Thank you, Senator Armstrong. Marilyn Manson, you know, and what's all his music about? I'm just joking. What's all his music about? Death. What's all his music about? Killing. What's all his music? I mean, and that's our world. Our world glorifies death. And God says that the people who hate God love death. And that's why our world loves death. Because they hate God. So Christians should not celebrate Halloween because Halloween is all about glorifying death. And we saw there in Mark chapter number 5, I want you to go back to Mark chapter number 5. We read that story of a demon-possessed man there, but I want you to look at a few things. Look at verse number 2, Mark chapter number 5, and look at verse 2. The Bible says, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the, what does that say? Tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. The Bible says, when there was a man who had an unclean spirit, that's referring to a person that was demon-possessed, where did that person hang out? At the tombs. You know, it's become kind of a fad. I don't know if it's still going on, but I know there was a time there when these kids, you know, they paint their nails black and they wear black clothing and they, you know, they're all into this wicked rock and roll music, and it became a fad where kids were hanging out at the tombs. And people were like, oh, isn't that kind of weird? They're hanging out at a cemetery. It's not weird if you read your Bible, because the Bible says when you're demon-possessed, that's where you want to be, where death is. And it says that this man met him out of the tombs with an unclean spirit. Look at verse number 3. Who had his dwelling among the tombs. This guy actually lived in the tombs. Look at verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, and look what it says, cutting himself with stones. I mean, doesn't that sound like the average teenager in 2010? I mean, these teenagers are just, they're listening to rock and roll music, they're dressed in all black, they're glorifying death, they're hanging out the tombs, they're cutting themselves. I mean, these kids, you know, I think it's funny, these kids that are into all this, like, dark, there's a name for it, but I can't think of what it's called, gothic, that's what it is, these goths, I don't know, thank you again, Senator. No, I'm just kidding. Who said that? I don't even know who said that. But, you know, this gothic mentality, I think it's funny, because all these things are like, we're going to rebel from the world, and we're going to be different, and we don't want to be conformist is what they say, but then they go hang out with their friends, and they all look the same. They all dress exactly the same, they all listen to the same music, they all look like a bunch of idiots. And, you know, they're like, oh, we're not conformists, but they just conform to their garbage, you know? But that's exactly, you know, it's not anything new. I mean, there were some dumb, rebellious teenagers in Mark chapter number 5 who were hanging out in the tombs, who were cutting themselves, and here's what the Bible says, they were demon-possessed. Look at verse 9. Mark chapter number 5, and look at verse 9. It says, and he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. So there was many thousands of demons that were possessing this guy. And it's interesting because we preached on this last week, and I'm not going to re-preach it, but look at what it says. When this guy, when Jesus cast out the demon from him and he got saved, you know, look at verse 15, Mark chapter number 5, and look at verse 15. It says, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. And they're looking at this guy with Jesus. He was possessed with the devil. And look what it says. Look what the world says. It says, and had the legion sitting... he that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. And they're saying he was sitting, look what it says, and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So how did this guy is cutting himself, he's hanging on the tombs, he's all about death, they can't bind him with chains, no one can control him, he's hurting himself, he's hurting others, and when he gets saved, when he gets a demon cast out of him, what do the people say? Look at that. You know, here's how they know something changed. He's clothed. He's not... Yeah, go ahead and open that. Oh, my wife will get it. I think my wife's going out there. It's fine. Come on in. So when they saw him and they said, "What is different with this person?" Here's what they said: he's of a sound mind and he's clothed. He had clothes on. What did that tell us? He had his clothes off. He was running around naked when he was demon possessed. But when he got saved, and when he got, you know, when he was able to think clearly, what's the first thing he did? He put clothes on. And that's just interesting. That was last week's sermon, but that's interesting. So point number one, why should Christians not celebrate Halloween? Is because Halloween glorifies death. Point number two, why should Christians not celebrate Halloween? Is because Halloween is the glorification of darkness. Halloween is the glorification of darkness. In the Bible, darkness always represents sin. And light always represents God, Jesus Christ, righteousness. Let me read for you a few verses. You don't have to turn to them. I'm just going to read for you quickly. Luke chapter 22 and verse 52 says, and Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour. This is what Jesus Christ said. He said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. So when they came to come crucify Jesus Christ, he said, hey, when I was in the light, when I was in the temple, when I was preaching and it was out and it was open and the light was, you didn't stretch forth your hand against me. But he said, now that it's dark, now that I'm in the garden, now that I'm by myself, he said, all right, that's fine. It's your hour. And here's what he says, and the power of darkness. John chapter number 3 and verse 19 says this, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, darkness, but shall have the light of life. John 12:35 says, Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. John 12:46 says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Acts 26:18 says, To open their eyes and to turn them from the darkness of from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. So he makes that reference. He says, I want to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me. Romans 13:12 says this, The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says this, Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? Ephesians 5:8 says, For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Ephesians 6:12 says this, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Colossians 1:13 says, Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. 2 Thessalonians 5:5 says, Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. 1 Peter 2:9 says, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 John 1:15 says, Then this is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now look, I read for you a lot of verses. And all over the scripture, does God think good or bad of darkness? Bad. It's always bad. But what does Halloween Halloween celebrate? Darkness. It's all about darkness. What do the kids say? We gotta, you know, they want to go out trick or treating, and they're like, hey, can we go trick or treating now? And what do the parents say? We gotta wait till it's dark, right? Because you don't go trick or treating in the middle of the day. That'd just be weird. You know, it's all about darkness. It's all about scaring people. It's all about. But God says, hey, darkness is bad. Light is good. I remember when I was growing up, my dad would tell us, and you know, I didn't really understand it when I was a kid or a teenager, but it really makes a lot of sense now. My dad would say this: a Christian has nothing to do in the darkness. There's nothing good to do at night. And it's true. You know, a lot of times, you know, I listen to people talking. Maybe, you know, my wife, you know, I'm 24 years old, I think. My wife told me how old I am. I forget. I'm pretty sure I'm 24 years old. And my wife is 24. You know, we're young. But, you know, I think because we got kids or whatever, we just act like we're older. And I listen to people talk, and they're like, oh, I'm going to go out tonight. And they're like, they're going to go out to the party. And I'm thinking, oh, what time are they going to go out? 7? Because, you know, when my wife and I go out to dinner, you know, we're going to do something nice. We go out at 7, 8, be back by 10, so we could be in bed, you know, by 11, whatever. And, like, people don't even start their nightlife till, like, 9:30, 10. You know why? Because they want to be out as long as possible, in the darkness as possible. Nothing good happens in the darkness. Because here's why. In darkness is where sin is committed. 1 Thessalonians 5:7 says, For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. God says, you know what? People who have no desire to be drunk, have no desire to be in adultery or fornication or be in sin, he says, you know what they do at night? They go to sleep. But you know what the world does at night? They go get drunk. They go be in sin. They go do all these horrible things. But here's the thing. You take your little 5-year-old son or 4-year-old son or 7 or 8 or 10-year-old, and from a little child you teach him, hey, darkness is good. Darkness is great. We're going to glorify darkness because it's Halloween, little boy. In darkness is when fornication is committed. In darkness is when young, pure girls lose their virginity. In darkness is when young girls get pregnant. In darkness is when adultery is committed. In darkness is when murder is committed. In the darkness, people do things that they would never do in the light. No, my dad was right. Christians have no... And I'm not telling you, you know, be home before the... You know, I was out... I took my kids to the store, and we were running some errands, giving my wife... a break, because she has them all week long, you know. And here's my wife's break. I take my kids to the store because we got to run some errands. Here's my wife's break. She doesn't have the kids, so she can clean the house. That's her break. But that's what she does when she doesn't have the kids. But, you know, I was surprised because I came out of the store. It was 6:30 and it was dark. Now, obviously, you know that there's rain and it's cloudy and stuff, but it was dark. And I was thinking to myself, man, this is weird. You know, it's 6:30. So I'm not saying, you know, the sun's coming out, we got to go back home. But I'm just saying, look, in darkness is when sin is committed. The Bible says that the people that come to the light, they have nothing to hide. And when you teach your children, or when you go out and you celebrate Halloween, what you're teaching them is, hey, death is good. Hey, darkness is good. Number three, why should Christians not celebrate Halloween? Because Halloween is the glorification of fear. Halloween is the glorification of fear. The Bible tells us to fear God. Let me read for you a few verses. You don't have to turn there. Exodus chapter number 18 and verse 21 says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, and rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens." So when God said, hey, when you got to find leaders for your nation, find leaders that fear God. Psalm 66:16 says, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Psalm 111:10 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Proverbs 1:7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 2:5 says, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God." See, over, all over the Bible, God says, has this frame, fear of the Lord, or fear the Lord. You know, the Bible teaches that we should fear the Lord. Now, my entire life, growing up as a fundamental Baptist, this is what I heard people say. Well, when it says there, fear the Lord, it's not talking about like being scared of the Lord. It's talking about a reverence or a respect of the Lord. Now look, of course that is part of fear. When you fear somebody, you have respect for them. Does that make sense? When I was a kid, I was afraid of my dad. You know why? Because my dad spanked me. So I had a fear to, you know, not cross my dad. But here's the thing. With that fear came respect. With that fear, so obviously that's part of that. But I think by just saying, oh, that means respect. Here's the thing. The Bible uses the word respect. So if God meant respect, he would have said respect. When God says fear the Lord, God says, I want you to literally be afraid of what I can do to you. And you know what? We need preaching in America where we teach people fear the Lord. I'm not talking about just respecting God. I'm not just talking about honoring God. I'm talking about being afraid of God. You know why? People just do what they want. They go into whatever sin they want. They look at the Bible and the Bible says, you should do this. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't, you know, whatever. And you just say, oh, I'm going to do whatever I want. I don't really care. You know why? Because you don't fear God. And God says, hey, if you were afraid of what I could do to you, what I could do to your children, what I could do. He said, hey, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. I wish I could convey to you how, you know, we think of God as just a Santa Claus up in heaven. He's just happy all the time. You know, the Bible says that. I mean, the Bible says that God is an angry God because of our sin. Because we choose to disrespect him. We choose to just do whatever we want, go into whatever sin we want, when we know that the Bible clearly teaches otherwise, we just do it anyway because we don't fear God. The Bible tells us very clearly that we should fear God. But here's the thing. The Bible tells us that we should only fear God and nothing else. Let me read for you a few verses. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Philippians 1:28 says this, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries." He's saying, by your adversaries, don't be terrified by anything. He says, "And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God." Psalms 23:4, a very well-known, you know, Psalms 23 is very well-known, but let me read to you 4. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me." You know, if you're walking down a dark alley, or a street, or you're kind of in the ghetto. You know, sometimes I go soul winning. Well, not sometimes. A lot of times I go soul winning by myself. And I'll be in an area that's not necessarily the nicest area. You know what I'm talking about? You know, sometimes I'll be out there and I'm thinking, man, this is getting kind of scary. Well, you know, God didn't put that fear in me. The Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. So that fear comes because God says, hey, fear God. And don't fear anything else. We shouldn't be afraid. And look, I'm telling you, I know this sounds weird, but you should not be afraid of anything else. But here's what the world does. The world and Christians, back then as Christians, will take the fear that rightfully belongs to God, and they'll say, I'm not afraid of God. I'm going to be in my adultery. I'm going to be in my fornication. I'm going to be in my drunkenness. I'm going to be in my drugs. I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm not afraid of God. But then they'll say, oh, it's Halloween. Let's be afraid. Because that's what Halloween's about. That's what horror movies are about. What's the point of a horror movie? To get you scared. To get your adrenaline pumping. So you're afraid. What's the point of haunted houses? To get you afraid. What's the point of Halloween? For you to be afraid. And God says, no! Don't fear anything but God. But here's what we do. We want to fear everything but God. Why should a Christian not celebrate Halloween? Because they shouldn't be in fear. You know, I don't teach my kid. You know, my son, he's 3 years old. You know, the whole time that he was growing up, and little kids, they understand, you know, when you talk to them and stuff. They understand more than we think. And I always told my son, you know, we turned the lights off, he wasn't afraid. Because fear, a lot of times fear is taught to you. And he wasn't afraid, you know, we'd put him in bed, he wasn't afraid. Somebody came along and told him, you know, that, oh, the dark side, we're supposed to be afraid. And he started like freaking out. You know, we turned the lights off and he started crying, saying, no. And why? Because somebody told him, hey, you should be afraid of the dark. Well, who taught him that? I didn't teach him that. Somebody, you know, somebody at church or whatever, he was playing with kids, started teaching about monsters and all stuff. You know, it's hard because you get these things in your head. But I teach my kids, hey, don't fear anything but God. Because look, this world, what is this world going to do? They're going to take my house. They're going to kill my body. Look, when I die, I'm going to go to heaven anyway. There's nothing this world can do. And when I start getting scared, you know, when you start getting scared about, man, what's happening with my marriage? Man, what's happening with my finances? Man, just understand this, that fear did not come from God. Because God says, I don't want you to fear anything but God. But here's what we teach our children. Fear is cool. Horror movies are fun. You know, I hear people talk about these movies and they say, oh, did you see how, you know, it's so scary, this part or whatever. And the whole point of that is to get you scared. And God says, no, don't fear anything but God. So why should we not celebrate Halloween? Because why should a Christian not celebrate Halloween? Because Halloween is a glorification of fear. Number four, why should a Christian not celebrate Halloween? Because Halloween is a glorification of... I had to pause for a second. Halloween is a glorification of Satan, devils, or demons, and rulers of the darkness of this world. Go with me just real quick to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 8. I want you to see some verses. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. You say, Pastor Jimenez, this sermon is not helping me at all. Well, you know, hopefully it's teaching you something. Hopefully you're learning, you know. We need to question everything. You understand that? We should not just take anything for granted. We should question everything and let the Bible teach us about every subject. But I want you to see this. The glorification of Satan, devils, and demons. Now, people believe this. You know, and they think, oh, Halloween, it's just ghosts and ghouls and goblins and vampires and mummies and sorcerers and witches. All that stuff is just a lot of fun. It's just fake. It's just make-believe. But you know what? All those things represent a real... Do you know that Satan is real? I don't know if you know that. Do you know that demons are real? Do you know that actual people right now are walking around demon-possessed? And demons are real? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and look at verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and look at verse 4. Bible says, as concerning, therefore, the eating of those things which are offered in sacrifice unto idols. We know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom all things, and we by Him. So, people will look at a verse like this, and they'll say, well, we know an idol's nothing, and look, we know an idol's nothing. You know, if you bring your little idol of Mary, or whatever, we know that that's just, I mean, the Bible talks a lot about stuff like that, where it's just, I was just reading in my morning Bible reading, where it talks about, you have an idol, and it has eyes, but it cannot see, and it has a throat, but it cannot speak, and it has ears, but it cannot hear, and it has feet, but it cannot move. So, we know that an idol is nothing, according to 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry, chapter number 8. We read that, right? And we understand that an idol is nothing. And here's the, and I think a lot of Christians take this. Oh well, a ghost is nothing. A vampire is nothing. That stuff's just made up. That stuff's not real. That stuff's just, it's just fun and games. But look, in the same, in the exact same book, 1 Corinthians, you're in chapter number 8, correct? Go to verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and look at, I'm sorry, go to chapter number 10. You're in chapter 8, go to chapter number 10 and look at verse 19. See, Paul said, hey, we know an idol is nothing. We know that there's no power there. We know that there is one God. We know that there's one creator. But look at what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and look at verse 19. Same passage. I mean, same book. It says, what say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. So Paul's saying, look, an idol is not a god. An idol is nothing. It's just a statue. It's just an object. It's just wood. It's just metal. It's just gold. But he's saying, but here's the thing. That idol represents something. Because when the world sacrifices to that idol, he says they're not sacrificing to another god because there's only one god. But he says they sacrifice to devils. 1 Corinthians 10:20. But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and of the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Let me read for you a verse. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse 12. Very famous verse says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God says, our fight is not against flesh and blood. We are not fighting human beings in this Christian warfare. But God says, we are fighting demons. And we are fighting spiritual darkness and wickedness in high places. And you may say vampires aren't real, ghosts aren't real, ghouls aren't real, Casper isn't real. It's just a bunch of fun and games. But they represent real devils and real Satans and real people. Not people, but real spirits who want to destroy your life. And you go ahead, and here's the thing. You take a child from a very young age and you teach them, vampires is fun. You know, there's all these vampire movies and all these vampire books. I don't understand it. I'm in the military, you know, and I work with, 25, 28, 30-year-old men. I mean, these guys are at the gym, they're pumping iron, they're all buff, whatever. They're coming to work with some vampire novel, like a little 13-year-old girl reading these vampire books. And I'm just thinking to myself, what in the world is wrong with you? You know, but there's this phenomena of vampires, you know, and death. It's so romantic. It's a bunch of garbage. And it's a bunch of celebrating things that God says we shouldn't celebrate. And you go ahead and you teach your kids, all this stuff is fun, all this stuff is fun, all this stuff is fun. And then you're wondering why your 16-year-old is cutting themselves. You wonder why your 17-year-old is walking into school and shooting up his friends. You wonder why our world is the way it is, because from a child, you've been teaching them, hey, darkness is fun, death is fun. It's not fun. It's sin and it's wrong. You say, Pastor Jimenez, I got you. Because I don't celebrate death when I celebrate Halloween. I don't celebrate darkness when I celebrate Halloween. I don't celebrate Satan. Because when my little daughter or my little son, we go out trick-or-treating, he dresses up like, you know, Peter Pan. He dresses up like Cinderella. She dresses up like Cinderella. You know, you say, I don't dress up like some evil being that glorifies Satan. But here's the thing. You got two options. If you go down to the costume store, here are your two options. You can either go down one aisle and get the costume that's going to be all about vampires, all about devils, all about ghosts. Or you can go down the other aisle and it's going to be all Disney characters. You say, that's what we celebrate. It's going to be all these cartoon characters. It's going to be all this. And here's the thing. Why should Christians not glorify, not celebrate Halloween? Because Halloween is a glorification of Hollywood. Halloween is a glorification of Disneyland. Halloween is a glorification of television. Go with me to Psalms 101. Psalm 101. Psalm 101. I want to read for you a few verses. Psalm 101. But look, Disneyland is not my friend. And I get tired of these fundamental Baptists walking around saying, you know, you walk into, I literally know of pastors who, I was going to say preach, but they don't preach it. They take a stand against, you know, all the movies. They never say it, you know, because they're scared. But you walk into their houses, and they're literally, like, I've seen this more than once. And I've, many Christians, you walk into their house, and they'll have a whole, like, two or three bookcases just full of Disney movies. know, our daughter doesn't watch, you know, all these bad things, but we just have all these Disney movies. And Disneyland's like some sort of sacred cow in Christianity. It's like the greatest thing ever. Look, do you know that Disneyland hosts a gay pride parade, a gay pride day once a year? Did you know that? Once a year, they open up the Disneyland and they say, we want every queer and faggot in California, which is a lot, to come out and we're just going to celebrate gay pride. You know, and that's who you're supporting. Did you know this? You know, this angered me. I didn't when I found this out. Did you know that when Mayor Gavin Newsom was letting homosexuals get married in San Francisco, that they were marrying queers at Disneyland in Cinderella's Palace? In Cinderella's Palace, they were holding ceremonies for faggots to get married. You know that Disneyland hires people like Elton Johns, who's a faggot, and Ellen DeGeneres, who's a faggot. And here's the thing. They put them on these little kid TV shows. You know, they put Elton John's music on these little kid movies. And they put Ellen DeGeneres' voice on these little kid movies. And you sit down your little daughter or your little son to watch, you know, Finding Nemo with Ellen DeGeneres. And here's the thing. They learn to recognize their voice. They learn to recognize, you know, all these wicked actresses' voices, or all these wicked singers' voices, and when they're little kids, you're like, oh, it's just the Lion King, it's just this and that. But one day that child's gonna grow up, and did you know that, what's his name? Elton John has more music than just the music he does for Disneyland? Do you understand that? I mean, the guy has many CDs and a lot of music, and he does music for Disneyland, but your child grows up listening to Elton John sing the Lion King, you know, whatever. And then when he's older, he's gonna say, and he hears his music, he's gonna say, I like that. Why? Because they grew up listening to it. And then they go into this watching and listening to worldly music. Then they grow up and they want to watch the Ellen DeGeneres show. Why? Well, because I have good feelings towards her, because she was the voice of the little fish on Finding Nemo or whatever. Disneyland is not, you know, I'm telling you, we got to learn to question everything. Because God is always against the world. And Halloween is the glorification of Hollywood. Are you in Psalm 101? Let me give you some verses. Psalm 101, look at verse 1. The Bible says, a Psalm of David. I will sing of the mercies and judgments unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. He just made the statement, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Look at verse 3. It says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. So David says, when I'm walking in my house with a perfect heart, here's how I do it. I don't put any wicked thing before mine eyes. You all know how I want my son Joshua, or how I want my son Joel, or how I want my wife, or how I want myself to walk around this house, my house here, with a perfect heart. Here's how we do it. We don't set any wicked thing before our eyes. There's a reason why there's no television in my living room. You say, well, that's because you have church here. No, there's no television in this house. Why? Because David said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And then he says this, I hate the work of them that turn aside. So not only am I not going to watch Ellen DeGeneres, not only am I not going to watch Rosie O'Donnell, not only am I not going to watch The View and watch all these stupid shows, hey, I'm going to hate their work. I'm not going to support it by watching their movies or purchasing their movies. That's what the Bible says. I know you think that's insane, but that's what it said. Look at verse 4. A froward heart shall not depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. You know, you watch these people, and mainly, you know, I got a lot of illustrations from work, because that's where I spend most of my day, unfortunately. But you listen to people, they don't know anything about what's going on in the world. They barely know we're in Iraq. They barely know we're in Afghanistan. I mean, they don't know the economy, but they'll tell you every statistic of every stupid, drunk football player. You know, they have that memorized. They'll tell you every statistic. You know, people, and I think it's so silly. I watch these guys, these grown men, when they finally do put their vampire book down, they start talking about all these, like, football games and all these sports games. I'm thinking to myself, you know those people don't even know you and or care about you? I mean, you invest so much in your life and they could care less about you. Like, they don't even know you exist. But God says, hey, I will not even know a wicked person. I'm not going to know about a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Look at verse 6. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land. Look, God wants you. God is very interested in what you look at and what you listen to. And you say, well, I don't glorify death because my kid dresses up like Batman, or my kid dresses up like Spider-Man, or my kid dresses up like this Hollywood star or this whatever. That's wicked as hell too. Last point. Why should Christians not celebrate Halloween? Here's why. Because Halloween is a glorification of fellowship with the world. Halloween is the glorification of fellowship with the world. Go with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of James, chapter number 4. James, chapter number 4. Think about this. When you dress up your whole little family, because I had somebody tell me this. Well, actually, I didn't have somebody tell me this. I saw this. We had a church once, and they were having this Halloween thing. And all the kids were coming to church dressed up they had costumes on. And half of them were dressed like goblins and ghouls and dark things, and half of them were dressed like Hollywood Disneyland. Well, there was one kid, I thought it was funny, because here's what his costume was. He was a banana. I mean, just a banana, you know? And it's like, he's like, I'm covered. No Hollywood, no, you know, vampires or weird things, I'm just a fruit. I'm not saying that in a weird way. Like he was like a banana. You know, he was dressed up like a banana. And he's like, I'm covered. I'm thinking to myself, you're not covered. And here's why. Look at James chapter number 4. Look at verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. See. You may say, hey, Pastor Jimenez, I got a banana costume for me and all my kids. We're a family of bananas, and we're going to go out, celebrate Halloween, and we're not dressed up like anything evil. We're not dressed up like anything from Hollywood. We're just these bananas, and we're good, right? And here's why we're saying you're not, because here's the thing. Halloween glorifies what? Death. Halloween glorifies what? Darkness. Halloween glorifies what? Satan and the demons. Halloween glorifies all these wicked things. So do you think when you're out there, even if you're dressed, you know, just like a banana, do you think when you're out there, you know, having these Halloween parties and having these Halloween, you know, trick-or-treating, do you think you're having fellowship with God? Probably not. Because God isn't in there, right? Do you think you're having fellowship with your fellow believers? I can promise you this, Pastor Jimenez isn't going to be out there dressed like a banana. So who are you fellowshipping with? You're fellowshipping with the world. Because you may take your kids out dressed like a banana, but they're going to be out there trick-or-treating with kids that are dressed like Britney Spears. With kids that are dressed like the world. And the Bible says in James chapter number 4 and verse 4, says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that, look what he says, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be friend of the world is the enemy of God. God says, hey, here's how my relationship works with you. You're either my friend or you're the world's friend, but you can't be both. You know, I know of these Christians, and they say, they go off into the world, and they do whatever they want, and they say, well, I'm still going to come to church, and I'm just going to kind of be both. I'm going to be with the world, you know, Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday I'm with God. And God says, no, if you're with the world, then you're automatically an enemy of God. And if with your God, then you have to be against the world. That's just how it works. You got to choose. That's why Joshua, he said to the people, he said, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. He said, you got to choose what you're going to be. Are you going to be a Christian? I'm not talking about getting saved. Obviously, when you're saved, it's eternal life. But I'm talking about, are you going to live like a Christian or are you going to live like the world? Because God, because you may try to straddle the fence, and you may try to be like, well, I still like church, but I just want to do my sin. We had a girl tell, my wife said this to a girl, or she heard of her. So this girl grew up in church, and she turned 18. And she said, I'm going to go live in the world, and I'm going to go live with my boyfriend, and I'm going to go fornicate. And she says, and this is what she said, I hate my parents, and I hate all the rules, but I still love God. And she's like, I'm still going to come to church Sunday mornings, you know, and all that. I still love God, but I'm just going to live in sin. And here's what I tell that person. No, you don't. You can't say, I hate everything that's right, and I love God. God says, no, you either love me and hate the world, or you hate the world and you love me. 1 John 2:15 says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So go ahead, here's the thing, go ahead and you live your sinful life, you live the way you want to live, but here's the thing, one day that world and one day that lust is going to pass away and you're going to spend eternity in heaven, and in heaven it's not about the worldly life, it's not about the party life, It's not about all the physical pleasure you had. And God's just going to say, man, you just wasted your life. If your friendship of the world is enmity with God, whosoever therefore will be friend of the world is enemy with God. You know what I want to teach my kids? Hate the world. I'm not talking about hating people. Obviously, we love people. We go soul winning. We try to get them saved. But you got to hate the world. You got to hate sin. And you just got to decide that that's what you're, that's how you're going to be. Because you can dress up like a banana and you can go out there, but you're still in fellowship with the world. Now, we're almost done. Let me just show you two more verses. Three more verses. We'll be done. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Actually, scratch that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I'm going to read for you 2 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" God says you shouldn't be fellowshipping with the world. You shouldn't be fellowshipping with unrighteousness. You know what? Church should be the hub of all your social life. Church should be the hub of your entire life. Your life, my life, is surrounded around church. You say, well, that's because you're the pastor. Look, I've only been the pastor for 8 weeks. the church has only been here for 8 weeks. But long before 8 weeks ago, my entire life revolved around the church that I was going to. What does that mean? Sunday morning, I was at church. Sunday night, I was at church. Wednesday night, I was at church. An activity, I was at church. Saturday, soul winning, church. I was at church. Why? Because God says, hey, you can be friends with the world, or you can be friends with God's people. And I just wanted my life to be church. That's it. Because I didn't want to be an enemy of God. You know why? Because I need God. And you need God. I need the favor of God and I need the blessing of God. And if I'm going to have a good marriage, I got to have God's power. If I'm going to raise my kids, I got to have God's power. I can't afford to make God my enemy. This is why I preach the way I do. You say, Pastor Jimenez, you know, sometimes you preach these things. They're kind of radical. They're kind of hard. Aren't you afraid that you're going to make enemies? Well, here's the thing. If I have to choose between me and your friend and God's friend, I'm going to choose God's friend. Because God can do something for me. You can't. I know that sounds selfish, but I'd rather be your enemy and be God's friend than be God's enemy and your friend. And that's what's wrong with all these pastors who refuse to preach the Bible because they want all these people to come to the church. They want everybody to be their friend. They want everybody to love them so they don't preach anything controversial. But a long time ago, God said, we're no longer friends. And I don't want that to happen at Verity Baptist Church. Christians should not celebrate Halloween because it glorifies fellowship with the world. Are you in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10? Look at verse 20. We're done. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, look at verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. He said, I don't want you to have fellowship with devils. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. God does not want you to be in fellowship with this world, with the devil. Why should Christians not celebrate Halloween? Because Halloween glorifies death. Halloween glorifies darkness. Halloween glorifies... I gotta look through my notes here because I can't even remember the points. Halloween glorifies fear. Halloween glorifies Satan, the devils, and demons. Halloween glorifies Hollywood. And Halloween glorifies fellowship with the world. You say, Pastor Jimenez, then what am I supposed to do on Halloween night? When everybody's having fun, what am I supposed to do? Well, you could come to church. Because Halloween night, what are we doing at church? Having fellowship? What are we doing? Having a harvest party. What are we going to have? We're going to have just games and prizes and chili cook-off and a bounce house and caramel apples and all sorts of fun that is you having fellowship with God's people. That is not glorifying death. That is not glorifying hell. That is not glorifying Satan. That is not glorifying Hollywood. You know where I'm going to be on Halloween night? In the house of God. You know where you should be on Halloween night? In the house of God. Because if you celebrate Satan, God says you cannot have fellowship with the devil and have fellowship with God. You got to choose one or the other. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you so much. I know that this sermon isn't something that's going to radically change somebody's life. But Lord, there are things we need to know from the Bible. And there are things we can learn from the Bible. And I just hope that maybe somebody learned something. Maybe somebody learned that, hey, I'm not supposed to be into these horror films and fear anything but God. Maybe they learned that I'm not supposed to glorify darkness. Maybe they learned that Satan is real and that Satan wants to destroy their lives. And Lord, I just ask that you'd help us. We love you, Lord, so much. In your precious name, I pray. Amen. All right. Let's